Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger. And today I'm joined by my fabulous co-host, Lee Marie Hostetter. Hey, Lee.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back.
So we've got a lot of questions. We had tons of questions on that we got through our Instagram on Prep Life Podcast through the DMs, or you popped up a question box. So we have a lot of different questions, and then I've kind of been collecting questions as we get them when we didn't put the question box. So we may have like a part one, a part two, maybe a part three. We'll see how long-winded we are and how many questions we can kind of pound through in these next couple of episodes. So, do you want to start it off, or what do you want to do? Okay.
Sure. Yes, absolutely. And just a reminder, guys, if you ever have a question for us, you can feel free to DM us on Instagram at the Prep Life Podcast, or you can, if you're watching on YouTube, comment below and just ask your questions. We love getting questions from listeners, and we can do them in these Q&A episodes, or we can just pop them in at the beginning of an episode as well. So feel free to send your questions whenever.
Yeah, I like that idea. Popping them in the beginning.
Our first question is directed towards, I'm assuming it's directed towards you, Amy, because it can't be directed towards me. But it is, do you have a new coach?
Yes. Yeah. A lot of people have been asking about that. Some people have seen it, like where I've tagged her on my story and everything. But yeah, I've been working with Savannah Sharp. She is a suit stylist at Angel Competition Bikinis, and that's how I got to know her. She's actually the athlete sponsor manager. I don't know if I'm saying that title correctly, but I've worked with her a lot over the years just through my sponsorship with them as a company. And I've gotten to know her on a very personal level in terms of what kind of person she is. I'm almost 20 years older than her, but she has like the wisdom of an old soul, and she is the most like just personal growth mindset type of person. I mean, her symbol for her Evolve, or her coaching business that she just started is a butterfly. And I know she started competing because of her brother that actually took his life, and she just wanted to, like do this competition thing after that. And she's just really evolved, and like, she kind of uses that analogy of like the cocoon and the struggle, and then turning into like a beautiful butterfly. And I don't know. I really feel like she's been a really good fit for me because I've had a lot of coaches.
Wow.
I've had a lot of coaches, a lot of big name coaches, and everything. And I've always been one that I kind of want. So the way I coach is how I've seen like how other coaches treat me as an athlete, and I've kind of like cherry picked the things that are really important to me that I value. And she is really good about like detail, which I love. I can see her face to face and like have conversations with her about how I'm feeling. She really like, I mean, she obviously we check in every week and she does a Loom video, but she really gets to know me as a person and like every facet of my life. And I just, as a coach, I feel like those are strong values for me to have for my athletes. So I just really feel like that's a good fit for me. 'Cause I mean, I know what I'm doing. I've been doing this for like however long. But she's like tough love, but also like compassionate, and just kind of like works on the mental side of things. 'Cause for me, like most of the point where I have right now is just like getting through the mental side of things, if that makes sense. But
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I have a follow-up question. I know this is not included, but I actually was just watching Phoebe Hagen's latest vlog that she put out, and she talks about switching coaches, or really more like addressing leaving her current coach. And it just kind of made me, as you said, you have had a lot of coaches. What would you say are some of the signs that would be that it would be time to leave your current coach? And then also like maybe some of the signs where it's like, no, stick it out.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough call. I think at certain points, like when I have like parted ways with people, it's mostly been because of like I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but like some protocols that didn't, that I wouldn't put my athletes through that weren't exactly healthy. And so I just feel like I have to be a person that walks the walk, and I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm also representing that. Like sometimes I just know too much, you know. I just know that there's different ways to do things, and none of them are wrong. And like a lot of coaches, like there's different things that I've really liked about them. Like I loved that, like one of my first coaches, Odo, he would like do a biweekly phone call with me, and it was so cool that I got to talk to him, like Kim Odo, like the OG, you know. And I mean, really, the reason why we parted ways is just I felt like at that point I couldn't really do a meal plan, and that's like what he does. And I'm just more of a, I don't know. I have, it's on me that I left because I had the eating problems, like where the meal plans were just really restrictive and I needed more like freedom. So, you know, I mean, every shoe fits a little different. And I think just like some people really like meal plans, you know. So I'm not saying like, I mean, he's just one example, but like, I mean, obviously he's a great coach, but there's just sometimes there's just things that like maybe work for somebody else, but they just, you know, don't work for me. So that's kind of it. Yeah, I don't know if that answers the question, but
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I was just thinking like sometimes I think it's really obvious, like things like that, like, wow, I don't think this is healthy for me specifically. Sometimes it's not even a general, this is unhealthy. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's like, this isn't healthy for me. Like if it's getting in your head to follow a meal plan. But then I think sometimes, like I've heard like people talk about leaving coaches and they're just like, it was just time. And it was no like bad blood, but it was like, I just want something different kind of thing, you know? So.
Yeah, I mean that can be some of it too. Yeah, I mean I think there's a lot of different reasons, and I think you just need to like communicate that with the coach. And I mean I have a lot of people that, you know, that I have hired in the past, but I still like talk to them and I'm good friends. Like yeah, like there's one person in particular, like I would give her a hug and like chat with her, but her team had just grown too big. And I'm just like a person that I want like a lot more personalized attention. So I want somebody with a small roster. And I know that's picky because when somebody's good, they get filled up really fast and they get lots of clients. So it was nothing bad on her because she was a great coach, but it was just like, you know, so I just, again, I don't want to really name names because that's, I was trying to think of one that like for Odo, it was like a reason that's like very, I mean, he's a meal plan guy. So, I mean, that's just, it was like, that was it. So,
Yeah, no,
but
that's
yeah.
good. Okay, so question two, which I
Yeah.
believe is probably also directed towards you because it's a follow-up question. So when are you competing?
Yeah, so I'm getting ready for I'm on day three of prep. So I'm getting ready for a show in July.
Well, fun. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So how many weeks out is that? July is.
It's at the end of July. We'll put it that way. It's the last weekend of July. It's the 27th.
Like 4 months. So basically you're like 16, 18 weeks out, something like that.
I think it's 18,
18
or
weeks.
like now it's gonna be 17 by this
Okay.
weekend, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Exciting. Very
Yeah.
exciting. Sounds
Yeah.
like from your prep files, everyone needs to follow her on Instagram at Amy Anger, because she does these prep file diaries every day. It sounds like you've made incredible progress already.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was excited. I lost 3 pounds. So it just shows you when you actually track macros, when you start tracking.
On day three, Amy,
Well, it
what?
was on day two that I lost 3 pounds. Yeah. I
Okay.
mean, that's how much I was eating. I was
Wow. Okay.
like, yeah. And I mean, I have a lot of macros now too, but I wasn't being very diligent with them. After I had influenza B for like 2 weeks, and the next week I just, yeah, like it was the longest I had ever gone without working out too. I went for almost a solid week without working out, and usually I'll sweat it out. But no, this influenza B, no bueno,
Wow.
man.
Oh my
Yeah,
God.
I've never not worked out that long of a time. So
Your body
I
probably
just kind of,
needed it.
what's that?
Your body probably needed that then.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just, once I started eating, like, and I got my appetite back, and then it was like I was just not eating very well. So
Right.
that's like my body retains a lot of water if I eat like a bunch of food and inflammatory things. So as soon as like I started prep, like, and I got things under wraps, and plus I'm training a lot more intensely, obviously, since now I'm healthy, and I've also added in cardio. So yeah, I mean, that's not like a normal, don't expect after you just turn on the prep switch that in 2 weeks you're gonna lose 3 pounds.
Everyone sign up with Savannah. Day two, 3 pounds down.
It was actually 3.3 pounds, which is
Oh
crazy.
my gosh. Yeah, that was definitely a bunch of water weight.
Because it was like a
But
full inch on my thigh and like
amazing.
a half
I
inch on
mean,
my hips.
I feel like people say we go on the other side, we say, oh, it's just water weight. Water weight is weight, and it does feel great to lose it. So
Yeah.
knock in losing inflammation and water weight. That's great.
Yeah, definitely. So,
Okay. Question number three.
yeah, okay. So, what is your take on Ozempic? And this one, so a client was asking me about this. So basically, we've talked about semaglutide with Coach Drea on the podcast. There's a whole episode on it, so you can definitely look into that. But yeah, like a client with, obviously I'm not going to name names at all, but they had asked me about it, and I actually wanted to just like hop on and tell everybody about, like, 'cause I'm very much a lab rat, like, where when clients are asking me questions, I kind of want to know like what that experience is like, or if they're like having a doctor like prescribe them that. Obviously it has to be an appropriate situation. So like in my case, like my blood sugars, a doctor looked at my blood sugars, like looked at my situation and said that I would be a candidate for it. So I actually tried it last year and I did not like it. It really slows down your digestion, and it is very like, I know a lot of people get like diarrhea and stuff like that. Like I got that on the first day, but then after that, it was like digestion was just really slowed down, and like I was always like kind of bloated, and I didn't really see much weight loss. Like I didn't see much appetite control. Like I really didn't see many changes at all. Like I know it helps for people. I just feel like with competitors, like it's not really necessary. Just because you can change a lot of like your blood sugars, like just by changing what you're doing and things like that. So, yeah, I wasn't a fan.
I would even say, and this is just my coaching opinion, not medical advice or anything, but I would say it would almost be, I don't know what the word is, but like it wouldn't really quite fit as a competitor because our goal, like you always tell me too, it's not a weight loss competition. They're not weighing you when you get on stage. Bikini competitors do not have weight classes. So our whole goal is building quality muscle and then getting conditioning to look, great and see that muscle on stage. But it's not about being as skinny as possible. And it's definitely not about looking like waif-like or skinny. They want a healthy, body that's on stage that just looks like it just stepped off the beach. Isn't that something you say? Like toned muscle. They want to see the muscle, but they want you looking healthy and not like super drained or super skinny. It's not even a thing. So you need to eat that protein and eat the carbs that you need to build that muscle and then be able to be disciplined to gradually lose the body fat.
And the people that lose muscle, they don't target their protein as like what they're eating. And so I know there's like a pretty well-known team that like they get a lot of like their competitors the Ozempic prescribed, where like when they're in prep, it helps like blunt their hunger. But I didn't feel like that was something, like to me, that didn't feel good in my body. Like I didn't enjoy that. I didn't really see like a huge change in my appetite. If anything, it just like made me constipated like all the time,
Oh
which makes you like feel heavy,
my God.
So I mean, that's just my personal experience. Like I'm not a doctor. That's something that you have to run through a doctor anyway. So I mean, I'm just giving my personal opinion because that was my experience. Everybody, I've heard way different experiences from other people, so I'm just giving that disclaimer, like my results do not match what somebody else's would be. And it's person to person dependent. And that's between you and your doctor and like what they actually feel like is necessary. So,
right. And if you choose to do it, that's fine. If it works for you, that's fine. But you still have to know that you still need to hit your protein. You still mm-hmm. need to be monitoring. Like if you're in prep, you still need to be tracking your food or following your meal plan. You still need to be putting in the work. So it's not going to do the work for you.
So yeah. I think that's well, and it's not for obese, like diabetic patients either. Like the ones that are finding success are the ones that actually change their lifestyle while they're on it. It's just a tool to help them from like overeating, and but they have to start adopting those like nutrition habits, the workout habits and things like that. So just my personal experience, like as a competitor, it's not worth it. Like it's just not. There's different ways to manage your blood sugar a lot better and healthier ways to, I think, achieve weight loss and less expensive because it's extremely expensive.
I was
going to
say that too. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, $500 or something like that.
Wow. So, wow. Yeah. Okay. I love that. Okay. So here's another question. What is your opinion on continuous glucose monitors?
Yeah. So this was another question that a competitor asked me. So I feel like we need to talk about it in terms of like the prep life. Like, is this something that prep lifers should have? Now, I've known of a couple of situations where there are like individuals that actually have a lot of trouble regulating their blood sugars, you know, like for diabetics and things like that, or people that compete that have a hard time managing blood sugars. This is probably a good tool for them, but most competitors, again, it's similar to the Ozempic where I just don't feel like, I think we manage through our prep, like through what foods we're choosing to eat, like through the lifestyle that we're living, that if anything, it actually causes more stress for that athlete knowing, because your blood sugar should naturally spike up and down. So we actually, because we saw this question, I put together just like a couple bullet points from Precision Nutrition because I thought they explained it really well about the pros and cons. Do you want to talk about like the pros, the bullets for that, and then I'll talk about the cons?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, some of the pros was to, so it could work as a screening tool. So that's kind of, I think, why, how people would use it that don't have diabetes, that just for collecting data, like this, you know, this food makes my blood sugar spike a ton. This food doesn't actually make it spike. I think as long as you keep it as data, because food is always individual and what might cause a spike more in somebody else might not in me. And so to collect that data might be good, or just to know which carbs or which, you know, foods are better for you to have. So to just keep it as data, I mean, usually we're choosing the foods that are more healthy anyways. So foods like carb sources that are higher in fiber, and then also pairing your carbs with protein and fats, both of those are going to slow down that blood sugar spike and crash as well. So we just do that anyways. Did you want to take pro two, or do you want me to kind of just go through the pros and
sure. Yeah, we can just flip flop back and forth. It's just a more accurate than a conventional test, like a fasting blood glucose or an A1C, which is the average of your blood sugars over 3 months. So it's going to tell you when your blood sugar is at like high during, where it rises after a meal. And like you had mentioned, like things that like maybe trigger it a little bit more on mm-hmm. what you eat, you can kind of see that, like different foods, how your body reacts to them.
Yeah, pro three, I kind of already talked about just how you specifically respond to certain carbs. I mean, mm-hmm. usually it's carbs. Any food you eat, I mean, if it spikes your blood sugar, it is going to cause that spike. It's giving you that quick energy or that energy. But I think mainly people are thinking the ones that cause the huge spikes and the crashes are the ones that they want to avoid or slow down. You know, that's what they're trying to find with these, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, for some people, like, I think in reality, like diabetics can, it helps for their adherence and their motivation. But, you know, most of us prep lifers, we already have those habits established. So, I mean, kind of like the opposites are the cons. So I'll just start with the first one. You know, blood sugar fluctuations are normal. And so it's not something to fret about because your blood sugar is going to rise postprandial after a meal. And I always tell people, like, if they have a high A1C and they have high fasted blood glucose, then, like, especially if it's a fasted blood glucose, you don't know if it's the dawn phenomenon, which is you just have like a high cortisol response and your blood sugar rises really high, like right when you wake up. Mm-hmm. So if you take a postprandial, you know, after like an hour or two after a meal, and it shouldn't be around a workout meal because your workout makes you more insulin sensitive. But if you take it postprandial and you look at those ranges, like I think it's like 140, I don't want to misquote it, but like the fasted blood glucose, you want it to be under 99, unless, you know, like that's borderline pre-diabetic around that range. But like after a meal, 2 hours later, if you take your blood glucose, it should, I think it's like supposed to be around like 140 is the normal, but I don't quote me on that. But anyways, like what you're looking at here is those, you know, it might like make you fearful of eating carbs and sugars and things, which is number two. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go three and four here? Or I guess, yeah, there's three and four with the cons.
So yeah, so it can, so like whatever you expect, they're saying, can actually skew your results. So this is like, what placebo. Yes. Placebo effect is so powerful. Mm-hmm. So if you know that you're wearing that monitor and you eat carbs and you expect your blood sugar to rise, it actually can like affect actually. And so I think that plays into the point right before this that we kind of just mentioned, but like fear mongering carbs, that is not good, especially as bodybuilders. We need those carbs. We need them to fill out our muscles. We need to be eating those healthy, high fiber carbs. And like sometimes even the low fiber carbs, especially around like our workouts, like pre and post workouts, like we need those carbs. It's not ideal to take away all your carbs if you're trying to build a body, you know?
Yeah. The placebo effect, I remember there was a study done on like steroid users and the non-steroid users, and the placebo people that weren't even taking steroids had like way more gains because they thought they were on something. I think they even, it showed that they like had more gains than the ones that didn't know they were taking the steroids.
I wonder if they just worked out that much harder in the gym because they thought, oh, I got test or whatever steroid they were on. I can do
this. I mean, and stress, I think can cause like, obviously cortisol, blood sugar regulation, all of that is like, so it's all kind of like factored in. So I could see how it could give you like a false read because you expect something to be. And then the fourth one is it can trigger obsessive thoughts and behaviors. And that's my biggest concern when it comes to when a competitor asks me if they should use one. I just don't want them to get so obsessed with looking at that because you do have ebbs and flows throughout the day as you're eating carbs. And that's a good thing. You need insulin to actually grow, believe it or not.
Carbs are not bad.
Yes. I mean, if you look at the extreme side of that, like those bodybuilders that have, this is not good, but they've died because they take insulin. I mean, there's a reason why insulin, they're taking insulin. It's because it does build your muscles. So it's kind of dangerous if you take too much. But yeah, that's another whole nother tangent to go on. Okay. So we've got how to do a proper ab vacuum. I can't tell you how many times I get asked this question, and I try to just send people videos. There's a particular video that I really like for people that have had children or diastasis, recti. And that one's a really good video, like on just like exercises that you can do. But if you can imagine, so there's two different kinds of ab vacuums. There's like the old school bodybuilder vacuum where people are hollowing out their rib cage. You know, you see it in Classic Physique because that's like the classic poses. You see the ab vacuum on Chris Bumstead. That's a different one than you want to be doing as a bikini competitor. So that's where there's a lot of confusion because it's not like diaphragmatic pulling in, sucking in your ribs. It's pulling your TVA, your transverse abdominis, which is like your lower abdomen. You have your rectus abdominis on top. That's like the visible six pack. You know, your TVA is like your internal corset, and you want to pull. The best way I can describe it is you pulling that muscle towards like your tailbone or your spine. Imagine that you're pulling it. It's a very small movement, and you should be able to breathe while you're doing it. It's going to help you pose and have core control so much better. So that's kind of the difference there. And I do send videos to competitors and things like that. So I just wanted to like put that out there. I think a visual is way better, but that's like my verbal way of explaining it. Do you have a better way of explaining it?
I think I like that. And I think really focus on the breathing part of it. If you are holding your breath, that might be an indicator that you're actually using your diaphragm and like sucking it in into your rib cage, which is what we don't want to be doing. So you should be able to pull in those muscles and still breathe. And that's what you want to practice during your prep and to work those muscles, but also what you want to be using to control your abs on stage, to control your waistline, keep it tight on stage, because you don't want to be up on stage holding your breath. You will quickly get lightheaded, and that is not what you want on stage. So you want to be able to breathe, smile, look relaxed while holding that core in tight. And when the way that you're going to be able to do that is practicing it during prep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we're only going to have time because I figured we'd be kind of long-winded with each of these. So we got like five done. I think we have time for maybe one more.
You want to dive into this one?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of it might be a long-winded one. The next one that we have is long-winded. So let's skip ahead and go to the shorter one. And we have a couple.
Oh, here's a good one. Here's a good last one. Do this one because you're really good at this, Amy. What exercises target the upper glute?
Yeah, that was actually the one I was looking at because I was like, this will be a short answer. Yes. Because it's very easy. It's just abduction. So hip abduction is going to hit the glute med and the glute minimus, which is the top of the glute. So if the judges are giving you feedback that not like the, there's no such thing as a tie-in, but like the glute max tapers down. And that's like right where it meets the hamstring. So we call that the glute ham tie-in, you know, that lower part of the glute, that's not what we're talking about. So we're talking about upper glute. Abductions are the best way to do that. I think abduction machine, cable abductions, curtsy lunges will hit that. I don't usually program single side leg press because a lot of people don't know the actual like proper positioning on that one. And that one scares me to program as an online thing just because people can hurt themselves a little bit easier and the risk is never worth it. So if you have like the proper technique, single side leg press would be another way to get that.
I like banded stuff too.
There is. Yeah. Banded things.
Or banded clams. Yep. Clams.
Clams, hydrants, any of those things. And then even like the side squats with a band and like monster walks, those would all hit it.
How about like a lateral lunge or a Cossack squat? Just anything moving back and forth like that?
Yeah, it could. Yeah, if you do it properly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it won't, like if we're looking for isolating,
right?
Just because she says this question specifically that we got DM'd was, how do you target the outer thigh and upper glute? So if you're talking like strictly hip abduction, those are the ones that would mostly be just the upper glute, like isolating it. Yep. A couple of the other ones you said would incorporate some other muscles, which is fine too. But it's kind of similar to what we were talking about with Carrie Pedro about research where, you know, if you also incorporate a band on a hip thrust, you can also get abductions along with it where you're targeting glute max, but you're also getting a little bit of upper glute. But those are the ones that like if you want to isolate it and have. Yep.
Like buy one, get one. Let's go.
Yeah. So yeah, the abduction machine is probably the best. I know De Raja uses that. I don't even know what it's called, but it's like a hip swing, you know, where it has like, it's like a pendulum where you I mean, you basically are hip abducting. Not many gyms have it. I think the only one around here that has it is Lifetime, but it's like a pad that's like on a circle where you can hip abduct and you can also do a kickback against it. I know Brett Contreras has people using those cuffs for hip abduction. It's just those two machines aren't usually at gyms. The gluteator would be a great one. That one is great for abduction and for the upper glute, just to name a few. So even on that short one, I was long-winded. Sorry.
That's perfect timing. So this is our part one Q&A.
Yes. So feel free to, as always, leave us any sort of DMs on, you can find us on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini. You can find me at Amy Enger. That's AmyEhinger. And you're on Instagram
Yep, I'm at
as,
Lee Marie 183.
I always get the numbers wrong. Oh, Siri thinks that I'm asking her something. Oh, and as always, if you would like for your unicorn prep, you can go to for coaching, for prep coaching at glamgirlbikini.com and hit the get started button and request Lee Marie or myself. All right. Thanks for listening, guys.